Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Kuf Mem Tet. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Kuf Mem Chet Amud Beit at the bottom. Okay, so we're going on with the questions over here of elements that have to do with the business dealings or the chashash of ktiva for whatever purposes. We've been talking throughout this latter part of the Masechet. Avinyanim that are uvda dechol, remind us of things that are chol, put us out of the mood of Shabbos, make us forget Shabbos, and perhaps lead us to different types of melachas. And we've been talking in this parak about the chashash that comes from worrying about the possibility of writing, and we'll see, we're going to extend it now into erasing as well. So the Halakha Mishnah begins, Moneh adam et orchav et parparotav mipiv avalo menaktav. So you can make in your mind a count of exactly how many guests you're going to be having at the meal. And then you can also count the number of servings that you have over there of delicious desserts or whatever. Paparot means, you know, the additional things that are given by separate portion as opposed to things that you put on the plate, on the table rather, for people to take from. But you cannot use a written list, obviously meaning written from before Shabbos, on, we're going to see in the Gemara, why not? But if you have a written list, then don't look over the lists of the portions and the lists of people to make sure that you've got enough for the number of people that you want to invite. Another thing is that you are allowed to choose up on, if there's like fighting among the kids, choose up which portion you get. And the kids can choose up with each other. And this is with your family on the table. As long as you're not actually making a difference in value between them. Just as some people like to have steak and some people like to have brisket and whatever. So you're going to choose up which piece you get, but not that there's differences in actual value. Again, we're going to discuss all of these things in the Gemara. Umetilin chalashim ala kodashim biyom tov, avalo al ha-manot. You're allowed to have the kohanim choosing up with a goral. Chalashim is another word for goral, as we'll see. We're also going to see that this word chalashim is going to lead us into a rather strange encounter with Nebuchadnezzar and with Bavel. And it's not immediately clear what in the world this parak has in common with those issues, but we've chosen the difference between mefis, which is the way we talk about choosing up in the first part of the Mishnah, versus chalashim, which is another way of saying casting lots. And for some reason, that's going to trigger us into a list of midrashim at the end. So we don't even know what this means, by the way. What do you mean on the kachim, but not on the portions? I mean, wasn't the kachim the portions of the kachim that the kohanim are going to be eating? Again, all to be seen in the Gemara. Okay, so what's basically the problem over here? Why can't I keep a list of written guests and a list of what my portions are and read from that on Shabbos? Why do I have to like go through the names in my head and memorize them and so on? So Rebbevi Omar, Gzera Shema Yimchok, because we're afraid when you note maybe you've got too many guests, so maybe you'll erase a couple of names. And if that's the case, then you will be over on being mochik. Abaya Omar, Abaya says it's a completely different issue. The issue is over here, Gzera Shema Yikra B'shtarei Hedyotot. We do not want you to get used to the idea of reading documents, even though they're necessary for Shabbos in this case, but that may also lead you to look over your other documents that you have, like your electric company bill or like various contracts that you had signed over the week or whatever. So they're all in the same pile. And we don't want you to be involved in reading Shtarei Hedyotot. Now, Shtarei Hedyotot is generally usher because of, as we said before, the chiyuv of to be mechabed Shabbos. So the different things are written there. One of them is mimtzor chavtzecha. You're not supposed to use Shabbos from looking over things that are your weekday involvements, your business involvements. Because of that, we don't want you reading Shtarei Hedyotot, even if there wouldn't be a chashash of your erasing. They're already done. But these things may be actually considered to be muktzah, because what are they there for? The Shtarahed Yadda. So there are some Rishonim who taina that they're muktzah. Others say that there's the same gezerah. Maybe you'll see something and you will be erasing and you'll feel you don't want that recorded or whatever. And the other is that it's, in general, it's an uvda d'chol. And who knows, uvda d'chol leads you to, I don't know, maybe you would write even a response to some of the letters that you're getting. Now, according to that pshat, the Shtari Hadyotas would even include social letters, just people writing you and giving over their narrative of how things are in the family and so on. And there are, in fact, Rishonim that definitely do say that, that anything that is not necessary for Shabbos is considered to be Shtari Hadyotas, because, again, either because why is it Nogea Shabbos, and maybe you'll come to respond, or maybe you'll come to erase something. Lamaisa, we end up paskening, at least, well, I shouldn't say paskening, but the minig has become to accept the psak that we're talking about dafka, like Rashi says over here, the issues of business. And those are the things that would be usher, but it would definitely be a big problem to be reading, let's say, advertisements in a newspaper that you would be reading, even if it was a very kosher newspaper like Yated Ne'eman, you know, or maybe Mishpacha magazine. But these would be Shtari Hadyotas. I'm sure they must have gotten a psak somewhere that they're not somehow being marshaled people from having these advertisements. I don't know. But in any event, that would be the gezeira. Now, what's the difference, halacha l'maisa, between Rav Bibi's pshat, that we're afraid you're going to erase, and Abaye's pshat, that we're afraid it's going to lead you to be Kareb Shtari Hadyotas, which is obviously means it was all one gezeira, because we're certainly not going to make a gezeira not to... of you not to do something, because you may come to do something else that's us to drop on it. So there would be a difference if, let's say, they're written up on top of a wall and they're too high for you to be able to reach to erase. So if the problem is erasures, so then there's no chashash on that. How are you going to erase that? So lo chashina. But if the problem is that you might be reading advertisements, which is very commonly up on the top of the wall, you know, there's a sign that's saying for rent. I mean, and you're not allowed to be reading that and seeing whether, you know, oh, maybe I should remember that for after Shabbos or whatever. So then it would definitely be a problem. So if your guest list was put up all the way on top of the wall, you can't reach it. So that would be a practical difference. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. I mean, even according to Ruth Bevi, who says that the problem is Shema Yimchok. I mean, certainly he's not ignoring Abaye's Svara. It must be that he agrees. No, I mean, he's just adding an additional issue. But, I mean, isn't there a Hashash Shema Yikra? I mean, it's all like part of the same thing, right? Vitu, not to mention that just because it's up high on the wall, that's supposed to mean that we don't have to worry that you're going to be erasing. Didn't we learn before in the Mishnah? Meshema Yimchok Lo Hashina? Didn't we learn by the Mishnah of Lo, even though it says Vatanya, Lo Yikra Lo Or Haner, and remember how Rabbah was masbir that? Lo Yikra Lo Or Haner, and it doesn't matter how high up it is. It isn't a practical kashash that you're going to be able to be Shema Yateh, you're going to be able to adjust the light of that Ner. So what it's talking about? Because Rabbah says, I don't care how high that thing is up on the wall. I don't care if it's twice as high as you are. I don't care if it's gavosh shtei mardaot. I don't care if it's 10 stories above the level that you're at. It's all one gezerah that you're not supposed to be kari l'or haner, even though the makor of the gezerah is shema yateh. In this particular case, there's no chashash of shema yateh. Makes no difference. So why wouldn't that be true over here also? If the chashash were shema yimchok, so it's exactly the same. So you're telling me it's 10 stories high. How am I possibly going to be mochik? But that's not the point. A gezerah is made as a low plug. Ela ike b'nayu. So what we'd have to say then would be, forget about the thing being written up on top of a wall, okay? It's written down on the wall. Fine. We don't have to think about that. But the issue would be then, if you're going to say that maybe it would be shema yimchok, so then we're choshesh. But if the problem is only, of course, it doesn't mean it has to be low on the wall. It means we don't have to get involved in the low of the wall. Some learn that actually maybe maybe it would be that we're changing it, and we're saying that that would be more confusing, but we're starting to, okay, but let's ignore that for a moment. But pashtus, it's just saying it could be talking about even if it was low on the wall. And the chashash over here was that l'man yom hashamayim chok chayshinan, and we're now changing our mind, and we're saying that l'man yom hashamayim yikra, according to Abaye, we would worry about your coming to reach Tarei Adyatas, maybe if it's on a wall, lo chayshina. Why? Because people don't get mixed up between something that's on a wall and something that's written in a letter that he's got or bills that he's got. And therefore, like, where's he going to have shtari hediotas that are up on a wall? So because of that, we wouldn't worry about it in that case. I understand, but we can ask the same question. I mean, so you're telling me, according to Abaye, what's he saying? That Shema Yikra, well, he's not afraid of Shema Yimchok? Why not? So the Shema Yimchok, he wouldn't be worried about. I mean, he should answer it because of that. Yeah, I still don't understand. How are you going to get a difference between them? Wouldn't each of them have to, like, be worried about the other one's Svara? Unless we find a case where, according to one, it mamish wouldn't apply. Yeah, there is such a case. The question would be, if you're reading it from your iPad, so it's the Chayek HaTablet, it's on your tablet, and it's not on a piece of paper. Now, it really doesn't mean an iPad, because you can erase from the iPad, so fine. But it would mean that it's on one of these engravable tablets, which obviously, even though they're meant to be erased, they are not easily erased. You know, we're talking about those wax tablets and so on. So they're written with a stylus. You have to go there, you have to heat it, and say, you're not going to do that before remembering that it's Shabbos. So maybe that would be the point. So it's Ikebe Nayu. The Chayek, it's engraved on a tabla, or it's engraved on a pinkas of some kind. Those are made out of wood. So if you were talking about Shemim Chok, obviously there's no problem over there. He's not going to get mixed up between that. L'man yom HaShema Yikra, if it's a question of reading. So then if you're reading it on a tablet, you may actually come to read your documents, and then there would be a problem. And so we made it all one halacha. But we still have the same problem, because if you hold, like, let's say Rav Bibi, and you're saying the question was Shema Yimchok, I mean, is he ignoring the Shema Yikra? I mean, I understand what you're trying to say. You're trying to find a case where if you don't believe that this is the main problem, then you're not going to be worried about it. So in other words, he would say, look, a tabla and a pinkas. I mean, nobody's going to confuse something that's written on a tabla or a pinkas with a shtar. So because of that, he's not worried about it. And that would be Ravivi's point. And the question, therefore, would be, to what extent we're worried about the similarity to shtari adyotas. I'm assuming that's what you want to say. But the problem is that there's a braita that says that actually you don't have that option to make that a machlokas, because the braita defines it once and for all, because the braita says, mune adam kama bibifnim v'kama bibachutz, you can make up a list of how many of your guests get to sit inside, how many of your guests are going to be sitting on the patio, kama manot atid laniach lifneihem, and you can do all of that from a list on a wall. Huh. But you can't do it from a list that's written on a tabla or a pinkas. Now, where exactly was it written? Okay, what are we talking about written? And written with what? So if we're talking about echidam, ilei medichtiv michtav, it's written normally, meaning it's written on regular ink. So then I don't get the difference. What's the difference between a wall and on the tabla? I mean, if we're talking about the question of Shema Yimchok, I mean, we said Shema Yimchok would apply on the wall as well. And it must be talking about that it was actually Chayek. So it was written with a stylus, and it's an engraver, an engravature. If it's engraved, so then it's telling me over here that Michtav Sha'agabe HaKotel, Avalo Michtav Sha'agabe Tabla V'Pinchas, why would be that be? Because apparently people really do confuse that a tablet, reading from a tablet, is the same as reading for paper, which is the mucker, basically, of the Kindle. So that it's easy for people to make that transition in their mind. And because of that, the Rabbanan were gozer. In that case, and not in the other case. So now you can't say that a top of a pinkas would be the machlokas between Abaya and Rabimi, because, I mean, it's a beferish and baraita. Okay, Listen, I'm going back to what I said before, all right? We're talking about it's written on a wall, and we're talking about it's too high up for you to erase, and it's not engraved. And you said, well, what's the difference? Doesn't Rabba say way back at the beginning of Masechet that your Shema Yata were afraid even if it's 10 stories high? So who cares how high on the wall it is? That is actually Machlokas Tanoim. And that would be the Machlokas over here. So the Kakashka, the Rabba, you should know that Rabba's point is definitely not something that's agreed upon by everybody, because the Tanya, we can see that that isn't true. The Bright is like this. And look at this. Rabbi Acha is matir reading as long as it's written on the wall. Now, let me ask you what the case is. Okay, where is he being matir? I mean, if you're talking about that it's down towards the bottom of the wall, so then, I mean, we definitely have established that everybody seems to be concerned about Shema Yimchok. So if it's down at the bottom of a wall, so why aren't we worried about it? So it's got to be talking about that he wrote it high. And it's up on the wall. And therefore, Rabbi Acha is being matir it because of the fact that it's high. You're not going to be able to get to it. But that would mean that he argues with Rabbi, right? Because it's saying over here that we don't say a low plug in this case. So apparently Rabbi's case, Rabbi's gezeira, that afilo eser komod zo agubezo of eser batim, shmamina that Rabbi is actually a machlokas tanoim between the Tanakamov and Rav Acha, shmamina, and that would explain the machlokas over here. In fact, I can show you that such a machlokas tanoim exists in another area, and that would be anitanoi ka anitanoi. Another thing, which has to do with the type of things that are uvda decholz, that can lead you to act out with the whole behavior. In this case, not talking about ktiva, but talking about giziza. Giziza would mean shearing. Well, if you shear your hair, that's also shearing. So it says you're not allowed to look into a mirror on Shabbos. Why? Because you may come to cut some hair that's out of place and is embarrassing or whatever. And we're worried about it. Rabbi Meir says, well, not if it's a mirror on the wall. So he's matir b'mara hakavua bakotel, which became actually part of a general mythology because of Rabbi Meir Shita. Mirror, mirror on the wall. You would never ask if it weren't on the wall. So that would be the difference between kavua bakotel or not. Why does he say dafka, that that kind of mirror is mutter? Because if it's on the wall, then I'm assuming by the time you run to get your shaver, you will remember, oh, wait a minute, it's Shabbos. So an uvda d'chol that doesn't give you an instantaneous possibility of continuing with your uvda d'chol, we say is not going to be a problem, right? But then, I mean, and if it's not kavua, won't you still need to get your shaver? So then it's the same thing, that Yadah HaKivachi Mitkar, he'll remember. No, we're talking about not your kind of mirrors, sophisticated mirrors. We're talking about a piece of metal that you're using as a mirror, which has a sharp edge. And so you shall be tempted looking into this mirror. If you've got some hair sticking out in a funny way, you'll take the edge of the mirror and you'll go click, click, click with the edge, and you'll use the mirror to clip your hair. That's what it's talking about. Why do we say that you're not allowed to use a metal mirror on Shabbos? You can use the edge of the mirror because it's sharp. So then if that's the case, Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to use the mirror if it's on the wall, but not the other one. Okay. So this is a machlokas. The Tanakama holds like Rabba. And the Tanakama says, what's the difference? Once we make a takana not to use the mirror, you can't use a mirror. So then that would be the same thing as saying what Rabba said. Well, if you were afraid to use the Or HaNer, then you can't use the Or HaNer. I don't care if it's all the way up on the wall. Same thing as Rabbi. The mirror would be up on the wall. We don't care. Tana Rabbana. Now there's another problem. Once we're talking about the reading things that are inappropriate for some reason, either because of Shema Yimchok, or because of the Shema Yikra B'Shtari Hedyotas, which itself is a question of, okay, and why would the Shtari Hedyotas themselves be Aser? We also have other fascinating questions like, I suppose you're visiting Rome. You know, you've got all of these Sistine chapels with the pictures, and then it says underneath what you are looking at, or maybe you're in a shul that says Kever Rachel under this picture of Kever Rachel, you know. So the question is, are you allowed to read? You go to a museum. The museum's got this little description of the picture and what it's about and so on. Would you be allowed to read the museum pieces underneath the displays? So this would be Ktava Mehalech Tachat HaTzurah V'Tachat HaYukonot. So if you've got like a writing that is very common along the wall in a museum underneath a particular picture or underneath the Yukonot. Yukonot could mean actual statues, or they could mean these large type of wall pictures like the Kever Rachel pictures or the churches where they've got the tableaus, I think they call them. Aser lekroto b'Shabbat, you're not allowed to read that. And as far as looking at the actual picture, that for sure is aser. D'yukna atzma af pechol aser listakel ba. Mishum shenemar al tifnu el ha'elilim. Now the pashtus of al tifnu el ha'elilim is do not turn towards Avodah Zorah. So, I mean, what would that have to do with the Isser over here? My Talmuda, Amar Rabbi Chanin, we're learning this from reading it. Now, there's two ways of learning this. Rashi's beautiful pshat is, Al Tifnu El Elilim, the Lashon of Elil, means something that is not, something that is just empty, halal. And therefore, Rashi learns that it means don't turn your mind to whatever is midaatchem. Al tifnu el midaatchem. Don't turn your mind to the windmills of your mind. So in other words, if you manage to come up with some kind of stupidity and you think it's beautiful, or some human being thinks it's beautiful, don't turn your mind towards that. Others learn, among the Rishonim, that it's meant to be pronounced differently. Al tifanu El midatchem. So we're using El as El, and Tifnu we're learning as Tifanu, which would mean don't clear your mind of the consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're going to go look at other things, then that's exactly what you will be doing. And this is all imaginary, and therefore you should not be involved in it. Now, many of the Rishonim learn that this is Bedafka referring to the Isra of Avodah Zarah. And Al Tifnu El Elilim means things that had been done as part of, they were used for Avodah Zarah. Those are things that you should not be looking at. And therefore, this entire Isra, according to them, would be an Isra Benogea, something that is Shayach to Avodah Zarah, not something that was just a Van Gogh in a museum. So that would not be Usr to look at. And in fact, we're Semich on them, on that halacha l'maisa, as the Magen Avraham points out, that's become the minhag to assume that that's the pshat. Mefis adami banav. The next thing that we learn is that you can make these goralot, choosing up at your table for the different things that you're serving. Now, why does it say you could do that with your children? It says im banav, im bnei beto, people that are members of your household. Mashma that you cannot do something like that with other people. I mean, otherwise, we just say, Mefi Salamanot. My time, huh? Ked Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, where you have people that are each, let's say you got a group of people eating in a hotel or in a restaurant, or they're bringing their own food and a bread and breakfast, whatever. But they're makbid on one another. Like, they're not close friends. They happen to be sitting at the same table. So over there, if they start, like, taking some of the other guy's stuff, and, you know, people are exchanging things, you know, that you're not allowed to do. Why? Because since they're makpin on one another, they're very careful not to get cheated in the deal. You know, I'm not going to give you something that's going to be worth more than what I want to take from you. So because of that, they come to be over on measuring things on Shabbos, all of which is part of the deal over here, of not doing things that are uvda decholz, that could lead to writing. So measuring, weighing, counting, And then there's also the problem of lovin uporin, which we said is itself usur, unless you use the word she'ela instead of halva'a, but they won't because they're afraid that if they use the word she'ela, it means that it's a long-term thing, and that it's a, the guy's gonna, bidafka, he's gonna be claiming that it's the same thing that has to be given back, or things like that. This is true on Yontav, and when we say Yontav over here, we don't mean only Yontav. According to Hillel, you'd have the other problem. The other problem is, according to Hillel, even small things like Kikarot, remember we had yesterday, are part of the Yisr of Ribis of Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. So therefore, you can't do that with strangers, because they're Makbid. Oh man, I mean, as far as I know, you're talking about being Makbid. I mean, little brother and little sister are certainly going to be walking around with scales to make sure that he didn't get more candy than I got. I mean, so why would you be allowed to do it on your table if you're not allowed to do it on the with other people? That's different. Because Bonav of Neveto, the reason why we allow you to do that is similar to what Rav Yehuda Amarav said. Rav Yehuda Amarav, what you're allowed to do is make a this is not on Shabbos, this is stop. You're allowed to make a loan taking interest to your kids. You know, so a kid says, okay, well, I want to go to the movies. Well, you got to wait till you get your allowance. Well, couldn't you lend me? Yeah, I can lend you, but you're going to have to pay 10% compounded daily. So this way, the kid gets a very good taste of what does compounded daily mean? Oh my God, does he find out when he owes you money for the allowance, right? So because of that, we want to give kids practical lessons in these kind of things. Kedela hatiman tam ribit, give them a taste of what happens when you get involved in ribit. Now, we would never, by the way, the Gemara comes out over there that you're not allowed to do this for the simple reason is that far from teaching them how bad it is, they realize, wow, this is a great way to make money. And they'll go out and lend on ribit. I mean, come on, what's the real lesson here, you know? So, all right, but Lamaisa, the fact that Rav Yehuda said that this was okay, I mean, If it was really that their makbid on the exact amount of money that they were getting from allowance, it was coming from their father, I mean, there would be just the same as anybody else. We wouldn't be matir that. So it must be that because ultimately, since they understand they're all dependent on daddy's allowance anyway, so therefore they don't really view it as being like their own money and it's being really something that they have a right to sit around and measure exactly. So, I mean, I'm not paying for it. I mean, he's paying for it. And the same thing is true over here. To say that they're going to actually be over Amida and Mishkal and Halva and so on is going too far. I mean, parents love to, you know, joke about it to the kids and bring out the candies with a little scale and show them that, no, look, it's exactly the same. But in reality, psychologically, it's not the same. So wait a minute. So then if that's the case, so then Ihochi, so why can't, the Mishnah says you can't take a mona gadola keneged mona katana. You can only exchange in the lots for the types, but you can't make a difference. If you're telling me you could actually make a difference in terms of size, value, and so on, because ultimately, they realize it's not theirs anyway. So then why wouldn't you be able to even do it like all the way and do lots with the size of the portions? And you are. The Mishnah actually is a little bit misleading because it's chisuri mechasu. The Mishnah has to be understood like this. V'achi katani. Mefis adam im banav im b'nei beto ala shulchan. Totally. And that would be even mona gedola keneged mona katana. Why is that? Like we explained, can review it on Merav, who allows you to take ribit because of the fact that they understand that it isn't really serious because it's not theirs in the first place. Okay. And that's dafke im banav im b'nei beto. Yes. Now, the Mishnah continues. The next case, that is actually, but with other people over there, we would understand that it's not going to review our Mishmua. So when we continued with the words Mona Gedola Keneged Mona Ketana, that was talking about an Isser for people who are not in your family, even Bechol, because of other issues that involve Mona Ketana, Mona Gedola. What's the other issue? The other issue is because of gambling. So Mishum Kubia. Kubia actually means dice, but I mean, we use that for gambling in general, since that's very commonly how gambling is done. So the question over here, gambling, we consider to be usur. Again, big shilas are not fundamentally our sugya over here, but it would be nogea maybe Geneva, because it's Machta Locania. The guy would never have gotten involved if he thought that he was going to lose, and that's called a Smachta. Others learn, of course, that's not the point. I mean, the guy knew knew that he could have lost. And so many Rishonim learned that the issue with gambling is that it actually draws you in, as unfortunately we know from so many sad stories, and may take you also into a world in which gambling is the way you attempt to make your living. I mean, there's some people that actually invest in the stock market. So that type of thing, because of that, we assured gambling. Okay, next piece I don't understand. Matilim chalashim. That's a weird word, but we'll get to the word in a moment. But for some reason, we changed the word. Now it means mefis. So the Kohanim, they can actually do lots for whatever their chelik is in the karbonas. But then you say, but you can't do it on the manot. But the manot are the karbonas. So what do you mean, avalo al manot? Omri Yaakov read about Yaakov. Remember that his father wasn't Roy to be mentioned together with him. So they always called him the son of the Bat Yaakov. Avalo al manot shochol is what it means. If it's yontev and you have things that were nogea, karbonas for non on yontev, so then you can't do that. Well, obviously, I mean, you're stop dealing with chol issues if I don't need to do it now. No, I'll tell you why. Because we're dealing with Kohanim, right? And whenever you're dealing with Kohanim, you got problems. I mean, look at Nachi over there. You could just see. I mean, basically, he's almost a skinhead at this point, right? You don't want to start up with him. Why? Because he's a Kohen, and Kohanim love to fight. And it says in the Pasuk, you know, it says, Amchom Kamrivei Kohen. These guys love fighting. So because they're always involved in who gets to do this and who gets to do that and who gets this part and who gets that part. It's a horrible kind of life to be involved in. And because of that, they end up getting very machped one on the other. So you might have thought that because of that, we were machped. Listen, these guys, there's no way for them to even live if you don't give them some way to get out of their fighting. I mean, what are they supposed to do on Yom Tov? Wear special begotten like some of the Hasidim going to see the Rebbe because it's going to be torn to pieces because at the Tish you have to fight with each other. I mean, you don't want that in the base of Mikdash. So you might think maybe you're matir, you're this all the time. You're mashmal on the emet for Kohanim not. V'yom Rav Yaakov read about Yaakov. You should know, once we already talk about this, now it's unbelievable the way the Gemara is going to get from one step to the next step. You'd swear that the only reason we're bringing in this next piece is certainly because it was said by Rav Yaakov Bereda Bat Yaakov. We just quoted Rav Yaakov Bereda Bat Yaakov. So Mimela, this was something else that he quoted. In the end, it turns out that the intertwined nature of these things is so weird. So he seems to be saying something that's a complete non sequitur, right? Amar Yaakov Bereda Bat Yaakov, you should know that if a friend of yours is punished because of you, so let's say you were mispalal that this guy should drop dead because of the way that he treated you, and he's punished in some way. So, and this is spoken out, by the way, by the Mefarshim. It doesn't mean that a person is punished because of what he did to you. It means he's punished because of the fact that you were maybe his activities to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked that he be punished. So if he's nenash al yado because of you, then ein machnisino to mechitzatosh al kadosh baruch hu, the person who caused that punishment, even though obviously the punishment came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wouldn't have been punished if he wasn't Roy to be punished. But since you were the one who made it happen, so because of that, you should also not be shyach to getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And emach nisino to bebechitzatosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person who seeks another person's destruction, is not allowed into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Me not. So how do we know that? If it's because of the famous story that we have in Malachim, right? So we had 400 Nevi'im. Crazy story. 400 Nevi'im tell Achav he should go up and he should fight in Ramot Gilad and he's going to win and so on. And there was only one Navi, right? So that one Navi, Michayahu, he tells him, no, these guys, this is not a real Nevi'ah. Because, what do you mean, it's not a real Nevi'ah, this is a Navi? Yes, but we have a Kabbalah that wherever two Nevi'im say exactly the same things, it's not a Nevi'ah. It's amazing, because it's totally counterintuitive, right? You would think if 400 people are saying exactly the same words, it's not their own words, it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's exactly the opposite. So if everybody's saying the same thing, then they're obviously not really getting Nevi'ah on this. They think they are. So this is must be some kind of ruach sheker. Where did that ruach sheker come from? So the psukim describe where it comes from. It says over there that in the Shamayim, so we describe this whole scene in the Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, who is ready to go down and screw over Achav? Let him go up to Ramot Gilad and let him be destroyed in Ramot Gilad. V'yipol b'Ramot Gilad. So we have all kinds of different fights. Achav had a lot of people long dead who were very interested in getting rid of Achav. So Vayomer Zebecho, Vizelmer Becho, and then comes one very, very powerful spirit and says, I shall go. So Vayomer Ania Fateno, and I'll take care of him. So he says, Eitzei, how will you do it? Eitzei Vayiti Ruach Sheker Befikol Neviav, and I will get them all to believe that this is an Avias, but it's really coming from me taking over their minds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, go to Fateh v'gam tuchal, tzei v'yasekein, go and take care of the job. So first of all, we say, who was this ruach? Reb Yochanan, and this was the ruach of Navot HaYisraeli, who had just gotten destroyed with this horrible story, right, where Achav wanted to take his vineyard and so on, which they claim to have recently rediscovered. anyway, on rather flimsy evidence, but I think it was just a couple of weeks ago. So this was actually the Ruach of Navot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, say, go. What do you mean, go? I mean, say, okay, I say, Cain. No, say means, okay, but you got to realize you're out of here. You ain't ever coming back into my mechitza. So this means, because of this, you do not deserve with me to be with me because of the fact that Achav ended up being destroyed because of you. Says the Gemara, how do you know that that's why? Maybe the reason why Navot had to suffer and not get back into Mechitzas Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because he lied. And it says in the Pasuk, Dover Shkarim Lo Yikol Neged Einai, that if something is, someone is willing to lie, it says over here, I'll be a Ruach Sheker. So obviously a Ruach Sheker cannot be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mechitza. That doesn't prove that it's because of the fact that it was Mach Shel Achav. Ela Mihacha. It's got to be the case that follows. Savata Kalon Mikavod Shtei Gam Ata Ve'e Arel. So you, what does this mean? You have been filled with embarrassment instead of your normal honor, and you too. Gamata, you too should drink the Hey Arel. Now, Hey Arel means you shall become uncircumcised, which is sort of weird. So we're reading it as you together with the Arel. So what does this refer to? We're going to see a bit later towards the end of the sugya that what happened over here is that Nebuchadnezzar was punished because of the fact that he used to rape all of the Melachim that he was in charge of. And that one of those Malachim was Sidkiyo, and that's when he was punished, as we'll see in a very strange way, and this becomes the Cholesh Al Goyim, which becomes the mocker of the word Chalishot in our Mishnah, which is like wild. And it's saying over here, who's the you too? I mean, I understand there's one person, and there's the you too. This is the source of a modern-day Twitter issue. So if somebody's going to be raped, he's got to be you too. So who is the Gam Ata? So the Gam Ata is a reference to over here. You, Savata Kolomi Kavod, is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the rapist. And Shetei Gam Ata Ve'arel, you too, Ve'hei Arel, that would be Tzidkiyo, who was the victim. And you see that since he was the one that caused this tremendous punishment and embarrassment for Nebuchadnezzar, and we'll see later on there's a reference to Gehenim, that he got Nebuchadnezzar thrown into Gehenim. And that proves that since he was the cause of this, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, he's included. It says, well, that's crazy. First of all, the Pasuk is not referring to Tzidkiyo. The Pasuk is referring to Nebuchadnezzar, as we'll see. We're going to go through the whole drasha on what it means. It doesn't have to mean that it's a reference to somebody else. It means Gam Ata, you should also drink. That is a reference to, all of this is very modern. That's a reference that he used to spike their drinks, you know, and then he would rape them. Also, part of the movie scene, all part of Hollywood. So spike the drinks, and then it says, Shtei Gamata, you should end up having the same drinks. That's what it means, as Rashi explains over here. Okay, so then the Hey Arel does not mean that you shall become the what we were interpreting it. We say Tzidkiyahu will be the same as Nebuchadnezzar. No, Hey Arel means you should become one heck of a phallus, is what it's referring to. And that would be actually what happens to Nebuchadnezzar, as we'll see. And therefore, the whole thing is not referring to Chas v'Shalom Tzidkiyahu HaTzadika. He's a Pashut victim. I mean, what does he have to do with the fact that where does it say that he did anything to cause Nebuchadnezzar's punishment? He was just a passive victim. The Amr of Yiramara, B'sha'ashi b'keish Torah Shal Asot L'Oto Tzadikach, because we're going to see later on that that's when he was punished, Nebuchadnezzar, when he wanted to rape Tzidkiyahu. Elam Yachah. The bunker for Rabbi Yaakov is the story that we saw in Brachos. Gam anosh le tzadik lo tov. It's not good. That was the story, remember, of wanting to get rid of the tzaduki, you know, wait when it, to see when it was a good time to curse him. So gam anosh le tzadik lo tov. Now, lo tov, not good, means bad. And it says in the pasuk, ki lo el chafetz resha'ata lo yagurcha ra. That you, Hashem, is a tzaddik, and therefore it's inappropriate for any evil to be with your mechitza. And since over here an anosh, even to a tzaddik, is called lo tov, it would mean that a tzaddik who caused anisha would not be allowed into mechitza shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the point. How do we know that the word chalash refers to choosing up with lots? Because when it comes to Nebuchadnezzar, now you see what's going on over here? So when it comes to Nebuchadnezzar, it says, Eich nafalta mishamayim, oh my God, you were the Hillel ben Shachar, you were the star in Hollywood, man. How in the world did you get drawn down to the ground like this? Basically, cut up. Nigdata la'aretz cholesh al goyim, the one who would cast lots over the nations. So what does that refer? So this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, used to have his stable full of kings, and he would actually rape these kings on a schedule that he would have lots to be totally mezalzel on them. You know, you're not even worth anything, but we'll choose who to use today to turn into a piece of garbage. And that leads us to the understanding, this is why it says, Kol Malchei Goyim Kulam, that all of the Goyim all over the world would be now, after he dropped dead, would be in their own place, becovered. And they were Nachu. Why were they Nachu? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shen Nachu, Mimishkav Zachor, when this guy finally dropped dead, so now they could have a normal life. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, as long as that Russia was alive, nobody would even be happy. There wasn't laughter, innocent laughter. Lo nimtza schok bepe kol birya. Shenemar nacha, after he died, it says, the whole earth is now have menucha, and shokta kol aretz, it's time for tranquility. Patzchurina, their mouths burst out in song, which is mashma, that as long as the Nebuchadnezzar was alive, Miklal da ad hashtot lo havirina, there was no singing. And Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asur la'amod bebeito shelo Torah sha. The Torah was mekalal his home, that it should end up being somewhere in a British museum or something. You're not even allowed to stand in his house, because it says in the pasuk usirim yirakdusha, that's a place for Shadim to do their dances. That's not a place where you want to be. Or according to Rashi, it's not a place where you would stand, because that way you're going to cause the Shadim not to be comfortable coming there, because they don't come to places where people visit. And therefore, if you move it to the British Museum, you're going to chase away the Shadim, and that would be a bad thing to do. When Nebuchadnezzar wanted to go rape Tzidkiyahu, that's when he got his punishment. Because there he was, sitting in the middle of this beautiful party, and all of a sudden he gets an erection that's 300 amos long. Now, this caused a lot of damage, because he was knocking over all of the cutlery and all of the glasses, and the wine was spilling all over the place. It was basically sort of a hilarious kind of situation, which you might consider could have been a little bit embarrassing. So that was the remez of Hey Arel, you become one. So Nimshkar Latosh Alosh Meodama Vaitamechazer Takolomisibakula was going around everywhere in the entire party. Shemar Savata Kalomi Kavod Shtei Gam Atave Hei Arel, and Arel Begematria is 300. Of course, we know that 300 always stands for exaggeration. So the idea over here is, though, that the story is meant to be an exaggerated story that gives you a sense of the bizyanas of the Nebuchadnezzar. Om Rav Yonam Rab, Bishashi Arado Torah Shalageinam, when this guy drops dead and he's about to come into hell, even the people in hell decided that they're making a protest. We don't want this guy here. So they were Rashu, Koyar Deginam, Amru, wait. Is this guy coming here to maybe be in charge of us? Oh, that's the worst hell imaginable. Shemalim Shalayimuba. Or is he going to be like one of us, to be like as bad off as we are? Ole chalot kimotamu ba. That's why it says, gamata chuleita chamonu. Eleinu nimshalta. Who's saying that? That's the Yordei Gehenim. And they're saying, so have you too become like one of the members of hell, just like a piece of garbage? Or Eleinu nimshalta. Maybe you are the Moshel over us. We're dashening. Yatzta bat kov amra. Mimina Amta, who do you think? You think you're prettier than all these other people? Redav Oshkamat Arelim, go and be in hell together with all the other Arelim. Eich Shavat Nogeis Shavtam Adheva. So this is, and once we get onto this, we're discussing the whole idea of the constant demands for more and more money. At last, we've gotten rid of the oppressor, and now the one who is golden, what do we mean, Madheva, is finished? What does that mean? Amr of Yoram Rav, it's a remez. Shafta Umazo, this is the end of Bavel, the nation that drove Yisrael crazy with the constant saying, Middod Vave, Madheva. So measure your coins and bring them all to us. Whereas Ikede Amre, it's Amra Ma'od Ma'od Have. Below me that, just bring in a tremendous amount of money. We don't want to sit around here counting how much you've paid. Bring in so much that it will be obvious that it was more than you were supposed to bring according to the taxes and so on. So apparently the only shaykhis that we have over here to the Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar story, which comes in this curious way through the Lashon of Cholesh, and then turns into being a description of Gehenim and stuff like this, ends up being a description of being modeid on, which we had brought in the Mishnah about the question of is he over on Medida and Amishkel and so on. What in the world? And another thing about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, when he talks about, he starts, which the Gemara says that he had to be shut up because he was saying such a beautiful singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end when he was finally turned back into a human and given back his malchus. So he started saying these tehillim that were going to make David look bad, and so they shut him up. And one of the things that he writes over there is, Revu Yatira Hosaftali, and you gave me tremendous greatness, meaning more than just the malchus. You added Hosaftali. So what is that referring to? Am Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. This teaches us that Nebuchadnezzar used to ride on a lion, and as his reins, he used this enormous snake. That you went ahead and you gave me the keach over the two things. I mean, the Mefarshim, the Maral, the Marshal, and the Marshal. I mean, that these are remozim to the Chayat HaSadeh is talking about the Gur Aryeh Yehuda, and the Tanim is a reference to the way that he destroyed Mitzrayim and took over Paro, who is called a Tanim HaGadol, whatever. But in any event, it was a tremendous amount of additional Natati Lola Avdo that was in addition to his original Malchus.